I'm Ed Crane with the CBS World News Roundup. A sniper mowed down more than a dozen exercising GIs early today at North Carolina's Fort Bragg. Correspondent David Martin has details from the Pentagon.
The Army says 15 soldiers from the 82nd Airborne Division at Fort Bragg, North Carolina, were shot this morning while they were doing their regular morning physical training. One soldier is confirmed dead. Three of the 14 wounded are listed as in critical condition. Investigators have found an AK-47 lying in the woods nearby the exercise area, and the Army says one soldier has been apprehended as a suspect in the shooting.
And correspondent Martin also reports that suspect was a member of the 82nd Airborne Division. Much heralded as lifesavers, federal safety regulators are now convinced airbags can kill small children who are not restrained by seatbelts. And the Wall Street Journal reports a warning about the airbag danger could be released as early as today. Joan Claybrook, a former regulator now heading the consumer group Public Citizen, says the problem is preventable.
The most immediate remedy is to alert parents that children should sit in the back seat or should always be belted or in a child restraint system if they're in the front seat.
She also thinks equipment modifications can be made.
An aspirated bag which moves away from any object that it comes in touch with at the early inflation stages, or another option is a two-level inflation airbag which inflates at a higher speed in high-speed crashes and a lower speed in low-speed crashes. So I think that those are the kinds of remedies we should be looking at, ones where there's not a trade-off with the safety for adults.
A malfunctioning traffic light may have triggered Wednesday's deadly train bus accident in suburban Chicago. Correspondent Scott Pelley's on the story.
The driver of the bus has now confirmed what other witnesses have said. The bus was stuck at a red light when the train came roaring down the track. John Golio is with the National Transportation Safety Board.
Her statement is that the light did not turn green, allowing her to proceed onto Route 14.
The driver's story adds credence to a leading theory of the crash. The signals may have malfunctioned. The railway signals and the traffic signals are designed to be coordinated. As the train approaches the intersection, the traffic signals are supposed to turn green to allow vehicles to clear the tracks before the barricades come down. Investigators say as it stood, the bus was only 3 feet from safety. The driver said she did not move forward because she never saw nor heard the oncoming train. Scott Pelley, CBS News, Fox River Grove, Illinois.
The House has passed a tax-reducing, safety net-cutting budget bill that will undergo some fine-tuning before it eventually reaches the president's desk. Correspondent Rob Armstrong tells us all about it.
Mr. Speaker, on behalf of all the grandchildren from the Seniors Coalition, we thank you for keeping your promises.
House Speaker Newt Gingrich was cheered by senior citizens and their grandchildren after last evening's 227-203 House vote on the budget and tax bill. Gingrich praised his GOP colleagues and said it's a good omen for the future.
This team, which has been just extraordinary, will continue to do the work that these young people need so that they can grow up in a country which pays its bills, which has lower interest rates, and which doesn't make them go to work to pay taxes for our debts. And we think that that's very, very important.
The Senate is expected to mirror the House later today and approve a similar measure, but President Clinton has promised to veto whatever a House-Senate conference committee sends him. The Republicans are well short of the two-thirds majority needed to override, and sources say behind closed doors, both sides are already talking about the shape of a budget compromise to be worked out when the dust settles. Rob Armstrong, CBS News, Capitol Hill.
In a second recount, a Boston University researcher insists the Million Man March probably did not live up to its name. Using aerial photos and video news footage, Farouk El-Baz estimated that 837,000 people attended the rally for black men 11 days ago. But El-Baz says with 20% margin of error, the actual figure may have been as high as 1.1 million or as low as 655,000. Next week's meeting with Bosnian representatives has been postponed as Russian President Boris Yeltsin remains hospitalized in Moscow, where correspondent Jonathan Sanders reports aides and doctors are giving two different assessments of his condition.
Russia's number two man, Prime Minister Viktor Chernomyrdin, says President Boris Yeltsin is okay this morning. Yet after a midday examination, Kremlin doctors say the heart problems that forced Yeltsin's hospitalization are serious, requiring the Russian leader to be under close medical supervision until the end of November. Doctors say the blood supply to Yeltsin's heart is unstable. Jonathan Sanders, CBS News, Moscow.
Boyd Weekly, the 24-year-old drifter arrested for the kidnapping of two Michigan boys, has now been charged with raping the older of the two children. Those charges were filed in New Orleans, where Weekly and the two boys surfaced Wednesday, some 10 days after the alleged abduction.
Although the charge of aggravated rape was the only charge filed against him, that's not to say that the investigation is not continuing, which it is. We will be working with the FBI and the district attorney's office to determine if other crimes were committed in this jurisdiction.
That's New Orleans Police Lieutenant Marvin DeFillo. A convicted child molester who skipped bail last July has been recaptured in suburban Rochester, New York, where he was suspected of molesting dozens of boys and convicted of sexually assaulting three, including Kim Hackett's son.
I'm glad that I can finally start with my son beginning to look forward and putting this behind us.
Patrick Distaffin's facing a minimum of 9 years in prison. A grand juror in the Oklahoma bombing case has been booted from that panel for criticizing the way prosecutors are proceeding in the case.
Normally, you get fired for not doing your job. It's the first time I've been fired for trying to do my job.
Hoppy Heidelberg confirms he told a right-wing magazine, Media Bypass, that the prosecution should have presented evidence of a larger conspiracy. Threatened with jail if he speaks out again, Heidelberg says he doesn't really care, insisting the truth must come out. The good news for the Cleveland Indians, they are still alive in the World Series. The bad news, Game 6 and, if necessary, Game 7 will be played in Atlanta.
We still have a long road ahead. I think this is just the beginning, and we need to go into Atlanta and capitalize on a lot of things and just take it game by game.
Third baseman Jim Thome, who knocked in two runs in the Indians' 5-4 victory, the Braves now take a 3-2 World Series lead back home. Health authorities in South Florida have reportedly confirmed the first known case of the AIDS virus being transmitted by a human bite. According to a Fort Lauderdale newspaper, a 91-year-old man became infected in West Palm Beach after he was bitten three times by a prostitute who apparently suffered from bleeding gums. Stock market guru Dan Dorfman's been known to help move stocks up or down with just a few brief broadcast comments. Now, according to Business Week magazine, federal authorities are investigating whether the CNBC analyst may have been involved in insider trading, wire and mail fraud, and securities law violations. The economy expanded at a surprisingly robust clip in the third quarter. The government pegs growth as measured by the gross domestic product at an annual rate of 4.2%. Consumer and government spending, business investment, and home building all contributed to the expansion. Early trading on Wall Street finds the Dow off 8 points. It's 10 past the hour.